So, all about the tongue today. Reminds me of a Rolling Stones album, that one. But this is what we're talking about. So there's been some great, memorable speeches. Winston Churchill, remember, said, "We will fight them on the beaches," and gave lots of other stirring speeches that really kind of galvanised the people of Britain. And we know Martin Luther King in his fight for equal rights said, "I have a dream." Words that we all probably know and can recall. Words are very powerful. We look at Genesis chapter 1, so right at the beginning of creation, the voice is emphasized. God spoke and it came into being. So through the words of God, things came to life. Jesus, we're told in John 1, is the Word. So what God spoke, Jesus created through his Father. And people are converted because of words spoken to them. It's very interesting, isn't it, how words have such a benefit, such a potential benefit in people's lives. But words also have the power to wreck and destroy what was good. The serpent talking to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the first actual sin committed was the sin of speech. The Lord called out to the man and asked, "Where are you?" The man answered, "I was naked, and when I heard you walking through the garden, I was frightened and hid." "How did you know you were naked?" God asked. "Did you eat any fruit from that tree in the middle of the garden?" "It was the woman you put here with me," the man said. "She gave me some of the fruit, and I just ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The snake tricked me," she answered, "and I ate some of that fruit." So the words, the lies come out very quickly. Judas's words of betrayal to the Pharisees and betraying Jesus. People that say to me, "I speak my mind, I can't help it, it's the way I am." Those are the words that chill me. No sense of willingness to change, just this is who I am. And often people say, "Sometimes the words just run away with me." I remember a man who was coming here some years ago from rehab. So he'd gone into the drug and alcohol rehab centre. So he'd had some really tough times in his life. And he told me that during the week, somebody else in the rehab had come right up to him, come right up to his face and started shouting and swearing at him. And he said, "Normally I'd have just hit him. It wouldn't have been a second thought." And he said, "What I've learned is to take a step back, think about it and think about what that person is going through, and then not hit him, but give him words of encouragement." Such enormous progress, isn't it? So such changes. But the words can run away with us. The destruction that is caused today, marriages broken, families destroyed, friendships gone, all because of something. Was it something I said? Let's study this passage then more deeply. James speaks to the teachers in each church. There were Christian leaders who had tried to turn Christianity into another brand of Judaism. There were those who lived out nothing of what they taught. Romans 2 says, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." Really easy, isn't it? It's the doing as I do that's the hard bit. And there were those who attempted to teach before they knew anything. People that thought they knew it all, who clearly didn't know. And others who pandered to the crowd. So in Timothy, we're told that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and then wander off into myths. The truth is what we're concerned about. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." For me, one of my big concerns is losing my voice. I've known other colleagues who have been ministers who have lost their voice for some months, and that means you just basically can't do anything, definitely can't preach. So that's always a concern. And I remembered back along when I first started preaching, I was just very worried that when I opened my mouth, nothing would come out of it. No noise at all would come out. But we recognise, don't we, that it's always a challenge to speak the truth and to ensure that there's no prejudices or preferences that hold sway in what we say. And there's the recognition that what you say can only have effect if your way of life supports it. So I know that I'm not somebody who reacts very well in a crisis. I need a day or two's notice before that crisis occurs. I need a bit of time. But I know some of the daftest things I've said have been in moments of crisis when I've had to react to a shock event. A great man said, "Life is strewn with orange peel." In our case, probably banana skins, probably more up to date. And it's true that often the sins that we commit, particularly of the tongue, are not deliberate, but then we get caught off guard. So Jesus is teaching in Matthew. A good tree produces only good fruit, as Richard was saying from the letter of James. A bad tree produces bad fruit. You can tell what a tree is like by the fruit it produces. And then he goes on to say, "I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So you may think, well, it's the tongue, it's a minor matter, what harm can it do? Maybe you breathe a sigh of relief that today is a bit more light than some of the passages we've looked at. But James has already mentioned the tongue. We all know that we should exercise control of it, and we're all Christians here. We all believe in the Lord Jesus, just as James was talking to believers in this letter. So, don't we say, when we ask Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and so the words that we say are promoted and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Isn't everything good? Well, one of my early assignments at college was to get involved at a Baptist church, big Baptist church in Weston, 300 people attending there. And going along to the first deacon's meeting with the church leader, I saw everything. I saw people fighting, I saw people in tears, I saw shouting and arguing, I saw it all. And I came away thinking, is this what the church looks like from the inside? Surely, though, our everyday conversation is seasoned with grace. Surely harsh words never escape our mouths. Well, for many young believers, people who come exploring the way of God, they don't find that. There are ongoing rows within fellowships. Someone has a feud with someone else and refuses to sit on the same side of church. There was a guy at the Baptist College, and what happens with kind of encouragements to be ordained is you get a message from one of the churches that is looking for a minister, and they say, "Oh, come and preach, and we'll think about whether you're right for our church, but come and meet us first." So this Baptist student went off to a church in Wales, I won't name it, and he thought, "Oh, this is a bit interesting, because I'm meeting one group in the morning and another group in the afternoon." And then it came to him, he realised that actually the group in the morning weren't talking to the group in the afternoon. They were in the same church, but one group sat one place, one group sat the other place, and neither spoke to the other. He didn't actually accept their call to ministry there. So what can be done? We know perhaps there are lots of occasions when the tongue has let us down or has hurt us from other people. James emphasizes here, as Richard said, what he's saying about the tongue here with two pictures, one of the horse and the bit in its mouth, and the other the rudder on a ship, both small things able to control much larger things. So the tongue can alter the course of our lives. James also uses another picture, and that will be very relevant to us. In France, it's big, in certain areas of Britain, and just down the road from me in Wilton, there was a big fire which damaged and destroyed lots of cars and motorbikes and things. So we know that the fires can be hugely damaging. And the tongue, he says, is like the fire, a forest set alight by one small spark. One piece of untrue gossip which can destroy somebody else. There's that awful saying, isn't there? And you'll remember it perhaps from your childhood. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never harm you. Well, look around you. See the people who have ended their lives through suicide, particularly teenagers. because of what someone has texted them or put out on the internet. I'm sure for all of us, there have been times when we look back in horror and wish we'd never said something. We've been able to tame even wild animals, but we're defeated by ourselves. So we need to have control of the tongue, absolutely, and that indicates an ability to control the rest of the body. Sins committed by the tongue spread to other parts of the body. So Proverbs, it says, speaking rashly is like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Who are we? Are we those who speak without thinking about it and then have to go around apologising afterwards? Or are we people that think first and then speak later? Proverbs also goes on to elaborate thoughtless chattering, lying, arrogant boasting, gossiping, all things that destroy other people and affect us. So do you bless God and in the same breath curse men? Do you find yourself driving, listening to a worship song maybe on the radio, but also ranting at the behaviour of a driver beside you who is not driving well? Do you find fresh enthusiasm to gossip, to moan about someone who was there perhaps at the end of a service or a house group? So James sees speech as a barometer of spirituality. Impure speech and a pure heart are incompatible. So let's remind ourselves, to summarise, why control of the tongue is vital. So the tongue holds the key to holy living. Remember, I think they're still around, but the switchboards, and you'd phone into a switchboard and then they would put you through to somebody throughout the building. So they had the control on all the communications coming into the building. That's very similar to the tongue. Control of the tongue is the means to and the evidence of spiritual maturity. The tongue has enormous power to harm. So I started learning when I was about 30 years of age how to drive. And one of the things that one of the customers in the shop told me, which I always remember, don't forget that you're driving a killing machine. And that just reminded me that this thing can be potentially very dangerous. And it's the same with the tongue. It's enormous power to harm others. And the tongue can be uncontrollable. It's like a lion ready to leap in and destroy when we're off guard. Only God can give control of the tongue. And then fourthly, we have to be consistent in what we say and do. Just as our deeds should prove our faith, so should the controlled speech that we utter. Fifthly, we must guard our tongue. It's instinct, as we've learned from what Richard's read to us this morning, is instinct is to speak wrongly. So we must be aware of that. And then sixthly, the fruit born bears witness to the nature of the plant. How can bitter and unloving words come out of a heart where Jesus is King? We claim that we have been transformed within our hearts, then how can we not speak words of life and power? We are called, amazing, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're called then to think before we speak. May those words that we say always be of encouragement and hope for all that listen, not judgmental and debilitating. Amen. We're going to